Hello and welcome to Celtic Underground podcast number 195. Yes, we've dusted down the soundtrack, we've dug up the technology, and the Celtic Underground podcast is back. I'm Harry Brady. This week I'm going to be joined by the new Celtic fan liaison officer, new but old. It's a recurring theme in Scottish football. Like a zombie back from the dead, John Paul Taylor, many of you will know, spent 15 years at the ticket office, went away on an extended sabbatical, and is back now as a Celtic fans liaison officer at Celtic Park to hear all your complaints about everything except whether Salmon Ash needs a haircut or a shave or whatever. So that'll be up in a moment, but first of all, I'm hoping to get this out prior to our game with Ross County, our opening game of the season, and what a fitting tribute that in the season, which will be the 20th anniversary season of the saving of our club, that the flag will be unfurled by John Keane. John Keane is an unsung hero of that time, and really what John Keane represents is everything that we are and everything that many football clubs no longer are or never have been or in their best dreams could only imagine of ever being like us. The old board were getting shown up by the commercial improvements down at a club used to be a club on the other side of Glasgow called Rangers. And we were looking very amateurish. And despite the best efforts of the support and other wealthy football fans like the royal family, these people thought they were born to rule and wouldn't stand aside. There'd been some moves to get them removed. And for Brian Dempsey, Fergus McCann, Gerald Weisfeld and others had plans to come in. But then one night, Kevin Kelly phoned John Keane and said that if Celtic didn't have £1 million in the bank, the next day, the bank were pulling the plug. And to put this in context, this was at the time where Celtic's bank was the Bank of Scotland. And you may recall from your history that people like Gavin Masterton were very senior at the Bank of Scotland at the time, and they had a very, very close relationship with people like David Murray at the time. So anyway, as I say, quicker than expected, suddenly Celtic needed £1 million inside 24 hours or they would go into administration. Fergus McCann jumped on a plane from Phoenix, and that part everybody knows, but the other part that not so many people know is, with no ownership and no guarantee that we'd get his money back, to avoid the ignominy of administration, John Keane walked into the Bank of Scotland, stuck in £1 million, and we're 125 plus 1 years this year, thanks to John Keane, who'll be unveiling the flag today.
I'm so alone, my love, without you. You're a part of everything I do. When you come back and you're beside me, these are the words I'll sing.
I am here at Celtic Park meeting with a new fan liaison officer, John Paul Taylor, and John Paul has been good enough to not put me in the dungeon when I met Tony Hamilton, but actually I have a fantastic view over Celtic Park as it's being prepared for the first game of the season, and it looks like what it is, the best stadium in the world. So John Paul Taylor has been away. Those of you who dealt with the ticket office will know he was at the ticket office, been away, come back, fan liaison officer. I'll be asking John Paul Taylor exactly what that means,
but he may have gone through an interview with Peter Lawwell or been enticed back by a fabulous package. However, before he can get to speak on the Celtic Underground podcast, he needs to confirm his Celtic credentials. So, hello John Paul, and first up, when was your first Celtic game? Who was your first hero? And what was the first team you can remember and really passionately remember thinking about?
What was my first Celtic game? The first Celtic game that I really remember was Juš Pestoza, and that would have been probably 1971. And I was in the main stand with my dad, and from what I can remember of the night, Lou McCarry scored, and I was raised into the air. And it was a terrifying experience for a young boy, but however, it was such that I wanted to come back for the next one anyway. So that's the first one that I really remember, Juš Pestoza in 1971. My first cup final was Hibs in 1972. The 6-1 game.
6-1.
So I had a good start.
Yeah.
Had a good start, absolutely. My first hero was definitely Kenny Dalglish. Now, I know that my early games preclude Kenny Dalglish's Celtic career, if you like, but I guess at that point I was maybe just a wee bit too young for heroes, certainly football and variety anyway. So my first one that I really idolised and I wanted posters of and I wanted to be was definitely Kenny Dalglish.
Do you remember how you felt when Kenny Dalglish went?
I do. I remember exactly how I felt because I'd done a paper round at the time and I got down and it was in Millerston. So I went down to get my papers and it was a nice bright sunny morning and I didn't open up the papers. I got to the shop and I seen the headlines and it was a wee woman, Betty Steele, was giving me my papers and all I could look at was Kenny Dalglish had been sold for £440,000 on the front page of the Daily Record and I was crying. And I went right round my whole paper round pretty much in tears at the fact that Kenny Dalglish had gone. And the first thing I did when I got back to the house was tell my dad he was away. How could it harm? It was terrible.
The reason I was asking that is because you mentioned about Kenny Dalglish and St Anthony on our site. His hero was Kenny Dalglish and he's just been tweeting about his son's heroes, Gary Hooper. And he's to break the news that Gary Hooper's off. And he was talking about the Gary Hooper posters coming down off the wall and he knows exactly how his son feels because he was thinking the same thing. His story sounds similar to yours.
Absolutely, it was terrible. And not long after it, for everybody that remembers, Kenny Dalglish had a massively successful career with Liverpool. I'm not a Liverpool fan, largely as a result of the fact that they took Kenny Dalglish from us. And I remember the night he scored the winning goal in the European Cup final against Bruges. And I really wanted Bruges to win. I was so disappointed. And it made it worse that Kenny had scored because new people liked him. And he was like our Kenny.
He's our Kenny, yeah. I can remember playing the garden, my mum calling me in because the game was on, coming in to watch it.
Aye.
A wee bit younger than you, but I remember thinking, but he's our Kenny, don't we?
Aye. And they called him differently. It was like Dalglish. They didn't really say it quite right the same way that we did. So, no, Kenny was my hero, but I was disappointed when he left, that's for sure.
So around about that time, was that when you first started going to games regularly? Or?
I'd probably been going before that, Brian, to be honest with you, because between my dad and my cousin William, and William's pal, Jerry McGrady, there was a wee kind of group, if you like, and we just used to always just go and see Celtic. So I just get taken along, and I don't know whether or not it was a deal that my dad had done with my mother that I had to go, but or maybe she wanted him to go or me to go, that would maybe get him a wee home a wee bit earlier. I don't really know what the deal was, but I found myself at a very young age, certainly under 10, going to Tannadice, going to Tynecastle, going to Easter Road, coming to Celtic Park for all the home games. I was fortunate. I was really, really fortunate, but they'd been taking me, pretty much coming to matches since I was about 6 or 7.
So that was really, as the 9 in a row tailed off, for younger fans, that would be as the 9 in a row tailed off.
Absolutely.
And then we were in that brief period where, well, we had that awful season when we finished, was it 5th?
Well, we had some terrible times in between. We had some terrible times. Before. But I do remember us winning the league, and I wasn't there at Easter Road when we won it, and I think it was either the 8th or the 9th, and you thought, well, we'll see it on Sports Reel, as it was in their days in the BBC on Saturday night. And Hibs banned it. They didn't allow it. I'm trying to think of the name of the Hibs chairman at the time. But they banned the cameras and they didn't let them in. We never got to see it, which seemed a bit unfair, to be quite honest.
And your first sort of team that you could start to think, this is my team, these are can you still, I can still, so for example, I can still say Bonham, McGrain, Reid, Aiken, McCadden, McLeod, Proven, McStay, McGarvey, Burns and Nicholas. That was a few years after I started going.
That is certainly impressive. When it started to really kind of resonate with me, Evan Williams would certainly have been in goals at the time. Jim Brogan, Davy Hay, Billy McNeil, George Connolly, Jimmy Johnson, latterly Bobby Lennox, Kenny Dalglish, Dixie Deans, Harry Hood. They would have been the ones for me. They would all have been the ones for me. I have to say, I was never really a great fan of Jim Brogan. I always found strong bones against Rangers. So I'm sorry if Jim Brogan's listening, because he used to live in Third Avenue, and where I live, or my mum still lives. However, he sold a goal against Rangers once, and I thought, I don't like you anymore. So, sorry. But I did love Davy Hay.
Had a Samaras-like resurrection in your affections.
That was it. It was all over for me at that point, because it was a header at the Celtic end, and I'm pretty certain Derek Parlane scored for Rangers. And that was it for me. I was like, that was your fault. I finished them with me.
So Celtic was ingrained in you.
Yes.
You then progressed through life, and then got that one thing that the 60,000 people in here on Saturday at 5:15 would love to have. You got a job at Celtic.
I did. It was interesting how it came about, but I really probably have to thank John Maguire at Celtic Pools, because he was the person that recommended me. And I knew John through a friend, and at the time I worked with Ladbrokes, so I was a betting shop manager with Ladbrokes. I'd been there for a number of years, and John called me and said, look, something's came up at Celtic Park, and I would like you to come in and meet a woman called Mary McAdam. She was responsible at the time for looking after tickets. So I said, yeah, absolutely. And I worked in Queen Street, so I hastily made my way to Celtic Park where I met Mary. And I was a wee bit flustered, to be honest with you, and I don't know if I gave a great account of myself, but she had said to me, look, to understand it was short notice, why don't you come back in next week and we'll have another chat. By that point I was a lot worse, I was far better prepared for it, so we sat and had a chat, and she offered me the job. So I had to quickly go back to Ladbrokes and say, I'm going to be leaving. And my boss at the time had said, I don't know about that. And I said, well, I've got a chance to go and work at Celtic. He went, listen, not a problem, you can finish on Friday, and if it doesn't work out, John, you can get your job back, no bother. So he was a good man, Alan Lilly his name was, and he was delighted for me to come to Celtic. And I came, and I was here for 15 years, and that was an eventful time as well, having gone through, it was the old board at the time, and then worked through the whole period of the change when Fergus came, and the club put out the share issue, and we moved to Hampden, and then we moved back, and we rebuilt the stadium, and we moved on, and we had a succession of managers before Martin came. And then we won the treble in 2000, and we subsequently went on to achieve something that I never thought I would see in my lifetime, a European final. I mean, who thought we would ever have seen a European final?
You will not remember me, because you deal with lots of people, mm-hmm. but I specifically dealt with you on three occasions.
Right, okay.
I have a seat directly opposite here in the North Stand upper. And a fantastic thing happened to me when we had to change the dimensions of the pitch. Mm-hmm. My seat didn't move, and nothing about my view moved, but the computer model at Celtic Park must have improved because I got a restricted view discount, and it took me about 6 years to start paying the price that I'd previously been paying.
Brian, don't put it out there publicly that I cost the club money. My career could end this week.
But the two
had nothing to do with me. Someone else dealt with that side of things.
But I actually remember contacting to see if I could get a backdated, restricted view, and you were very pleasantly told me where to go. That's how I remember dealing with it.
Thankfully, hopefully that redeemed me there. Just in case anyone important was listening, thought you were going to tell the story of the time at Hampden where we put up the big diagram of Hampden, and we said, if you know, come into Celtic Park, come into the ticket office, and mark off where you want to sit. So you had the diagram of the North Stand, and of course, everyone came in and ticked uh-huh. right on the halfway line.
Yeah.
So eventually, I had to say, look, we have to stop people saying I want to sit there, because we just said we'll give you the next best available seat. But at this point, people were out of the 18-yard box,
yeah.
but they had said that's my first choice. So as you can imagine, there were a lot of unhappy people.
Yes, well, yeah, because I think I'm in my second choice seat, which is about, it's in the upper bit, and my first choice was in the lower bit. But in terms of actual numbers of rows, it's probably about three rows away from where, in terms of taking away the corporate bit,
yeah,
it's probably about three rows higher up than I could have possibly got if I got my favourite place.
Well, there you go. So we've done something good.
So you did something good. Where the other two things, my only, I actually have always defended the ticket office, and it was my only ever dealings with the ticket office. If you put, I have always found if you put a rational argument, you always answer it. And so one of the other occasions I can specifically remember dealing with you was to do with Seville.
Yes.
And I didn't have a ticket for Rugby Park the following weekend.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I had been to something like 14 out of the 18, 19 away league games that season.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking to you and being able to describe the fog at Rugby Park in the Rugby Park game earlier on that season,
oh,
and the empty seats that had been around me.
I do remember, it was one of the worst games of all time as well.
And being told, well, if you come down to Celtic Park the day before the game, there might be some spares, to which I asked who will be not taking up their ticket for the game. Mm-hmm. I then was put through to you. I was at Rugby Park that day.
Good.
So
good.
I only ever found you useful and helpful. And that was in the days before I was doing stuff, so I can't even pretend that it was you were trying to get positive press in a blog.
I think the thing about it is, just to talk about the ticket office just briefly, is that it is a really, really hard job. It is, and after doing it for that number of years, I think it kind of almost melted me, and I do have a great deal of sympathy for the girls that do it. There are a lot of benefits, and it's great to work for Celtic, and I guess there's add-ons there that they maybe get that you wouldn't get in other jobs, but the girls that do it do a really good job. They're really committed, and even since I came back, the hours that they've been working, it's just been non-stop. So I've got a lot of admiration for them, and under really difficult circumstances, and I would always ask people always to bear that in mind, because they do their best.
Despite the fact that at times we can lose our temper, I think in rational moments we would all accept there must be periods where 3-4 days we go, in a row we'll go, where you're not needed in the ticket office, and then a week going by where you could work 24/7.
Honestly, that's exactly right, is that you could have 3 or 4 days where, you know, you need 3 people, and then you get maybe 10 days where you could do it 1,000 people, and it probably wouldn't still be enough. And it's hard, it's a hard job that they do. Angela, that runs the ticket office now, does a terrific job under extreme pressure, so as I say, I would just ask everybody to bear that in mind, that they really do their best. And I think that's the point, and it's been great coming back to the club, and I've been overwhelmed really by the good wishes that I've had from people, and people saying that I'd helped them in the past. It's no more than just being a Celtic supporter and wanting to help other Celtic supporters, and I would like to think that pretty much any other Celtic supporter doing the same job would do the same thing. It's just about, I think as Celtic fans we take an enormous pride as being Celtic fans. We've got a fantastic club, we've got a great history, whether it be in defeat or adversity. I don't know, it's just that for me there has always been something great about Celtic, there probably always will be something great about Celtic, and I think you take a real sense of pride in that, that you don't want to see the club, the name of the club being tarnished in any way, and if you can do something as an employee, or even not an employee, but just a fan that says, I've done something to help someone so that Celtic get the spin-off from that and someone else talks about it in a positive way, then you'll always do it. I'd like to think everybody would.
Just going back briefly to touch on your 15-year career, just something that's occurred to me. You don't have to, I'm not expecting you to embarrass anybody, but there must have been a considerable change of culture within the organisation during those 15 years. At different times.
In what way specifically?
Well, you were there under the old board, you were there under Ferguson, you were there post-Ferguson.
It's different management styles, and obviously there's different needs for the club as well. When I first came in, it was run by the old board, who were lovely men, they were nice men to me. I couldn't say anything about them other than that over at the period of time, the club probably could have been in a healthier state financially, and we probably could have exploited it better commercially, but I don't think there was any intention from the people that ran the club at the time to do it a disservice. Maybe they just didn't have the acumen, but there was a changeover at that point, obviously, when Fergus came in, and Fergus was very forward-thinking, he was very commercial-minded, he had experience in marketing, and he knew how to market the club, and he had a plan, and he stuck to his plan rigidly. And over the period of time that Fergus was here, I don't think he ever did anything different from the way that he said that he was going to do it, and I don't think that he's promised one thing that he didn't deliver on. And right up to the day where he said, "I'll be off now," he was off, and that was it. And he got his taxi at the front door on the day that he left, and we never seen him again.
We've never reappointed him 3 months later as a consultant, for example.
No, we didn't actually know. I know that that's kind of in vogue at the moment, and that seems to be something that other clubs seem to do. But no, we didn't re-employ Fergus on a consultancy basis. But other clubs might think that's a good idea.
So you were here for 15 years and you brought about, you were obviously the main driver behind O'Neill's glory years, and then you left.
Yes.
And now you're back.
Yes, I am.
So how did that come about?
It was an interesting time, but when I decided that I maybe wanted to do something different, I just felt that I had been at the club for 15 years and I'd done numerous cup finals, numerous Glasgow derby matches, league winning matches, European final, and you kind of get to a point where you think, really, what's next? What can we do next? And I wasn't sure. I was into my 40s at that point, and I thought, you know, is there something different for me? I enjoyed my time here. I knew that when I left the club, this is the kind of role that I liked. I wasn't really sure whether or not there was an opportunity to come back to the club. It wasn't the first thing that I thought of, because generally you think when you leave a job, that's you. However, I had a few different conversations with some people at the club, primarily Peter, and he was fantastic when I met him, and he gave me real confidence that the club is going the right way. It's in the right hands with people that are absolutely in tune with what the supporters think. There was no suggestion at all at that point that the club were out of step with what people were thinking, and I think that was demonstrated with the discount in season tickets this year and all the positive messages about the family stand, the Wi-Fi and all the other things that the club are doing which are positive. And it made me think at the time, that was kind of around about the turn of the year, and it made me think at the time, God, it would be great to go back to Celtic, because they've really grasped the nettle, if you like, when it comes to the supporters. And subsequent to that, there was another few wee chats and one thing and another, and this role kind of appeared, and I put myself forward for it, and I was fortunate enough that the club decided that I would be the right person for it. So it's worked out really well for me, and I'm really pleased.
Now, every AGM, I think since Fergus came, the Celtic Trust have stood up and said, we want a supporter on the board. Yes. Now, my interpretation, maybe I'm wrong and someone like Jeanette can rectify that if I am, my interpretation of what she was really looking for was, we need someone who's not in the corporate part of the executive management team of the club,
sure,
to liaise between the mass of the ordinary Celtic fans who, in various shape or form, turn up to a game, whether it be on a bus, whether it be on the train, bus, supporters bus, car, walking, however they get there. They are not corporate sponsors.
Sure,
they are,
there
needed to be some way of communicating that opinion through. Mm-hmm. My reading of what your role is to, you might not be on the board, but you have to fulfil that route.
Yeah, it is. I mean, really, at the end of the day, as I kind of alluded to earlier on, is what you've got is you've got someone in the club. And there's loads of Celtic fans that work at the club, so I mean, I'm not the only Celtic fan that works at the club. But I think having, you know, been someone that's attended matches for a great number of years, home and away, gone as an employee, gone as a non-employee, if you like, I understand the club and stuff like that as well. So I think that probably, like, I've got the right ID for it, if you like, in that respect. I think that fulfilling that role, it's a big role, but yeah, I mean, I think that that's ultimately what the club are trying to get to, is that there is someone there that does understand the fans' views, can articulate them and put them forward, take the club, the fans' initiatives, and present them to the board if they are practical to roll out. have ongoing discussions with the various different supporters groups to get their thoughts and views on how we can make things better at Celtic and how we can support Celtic fans. So I suspect it is. I mean, I may be kind of bigging myself up a bit more than it should be there, but I suspect it is. It's along those lines. It is along those lines where I would like to think that Celtic fans believe that they've got someone at the club with their best interests at heart that understand the supporters, because I am a supporter.
So you should be, don't have to be, but a first port of call for supporters if they're wanting to get a message across to the club about how they feel, or if they're wanting a query about stuff.
Yes,
the club.
That's it. That's how we see it working. I mean, what we put out in the past is that if you've got a specific complaint, if you like, it should be directed. So if it's about stadium catering, it should go there in the first instance. If it's about ticketing, it should go there in the first instance. However, if you're not satisfied with the outcome, or if your inquiry doesn't relate to that, and initially people may think, well, what else could it involve? But there are 100 other things that it could involve, to be honest with you, and stuff that I've picked up recently, obviously, relate to media reporting on certain news items that occurred recently, safety within the stadium, spectator behaviour. There's really a whole host of different subjects that I'm dealing with on a daily basis, and I'd like to think that what I'm trying to do is get back to people as quickly as possible, give them a response, and if I can't respond to them, direct it to the appropriate department. I think in less than 3 weeks I've responded to over 1,400 emails, I've sent maybe 350-360 tweets, so there is communication and there is engagement there, and it's just it's consistent and it's constant and it's ongoing all the time.
Do you yourself have a plan as to what you should be, or is it purely reactive?
Well, I think probably in my first couple of weeks it probably has been reactive, and there's been a number of different issues which have occurred over the first few weeks that I've been in that have taken up quite a bit of time. But yeah, I mean, the plan is overall is to form, if we can, like supporters forums, if you like, so that we're involving supporters from different parts of the stadium with different age groups, male, female, that we're basically pulling together people's thoughts and opinions on how we can improve Celtic generally, whether it's at the stadium, people will have views about facilities, about catering, about how we can do things better ticketing-wise, about the environs of the stadium generally, about coach parking, about approachways, really anything that relates to the club. I would like to set up various different forums if we can, in order that we can pull that together and present a case to the board if there's investment required, if there's strong proposals to back it.
And obviously we talked about, I asked you about whether there's a change of culture, and have you, in 3 weeks, have you noticed, you commented that you were really pleased that the management and executive team seemed to be in touch with the feelings of the supporters. Have you really noticed that going away and coming back?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that having come back, having been away and come back, yes, I think that there is, I see a bigger emphasis on what we're doing for supporters.
As we're talking, from my perception, it's the turn of the century period. We were wanting to be a big corporate entity.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because it was about generating money to put to buy £6 million Christmas, etc.
Yeah.
But that seemed to be, we very much, our board was made up on it's a corporate board, former Bank of England governor, etc. It was a corporate mentality. Mm-hmm. And obviously with the changes in Scottish football in the last 2 years, it seems to be more inward looking, but I don't mean inward looking in a bad way, I mean inward looking in terms of, let's get our community of Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably have to look at it over the years, and we obviously touched on when the club was taken over as well. There are different wants and needs for the club at different times in terms of investment. So when Fergus came, he had to raise the share issue, to raise the share capital, etc. And then the club moves on again, so we then became the corporate entity that you spoke about there. Things have changed within football, certainly within football in Scotland, and I think it's like termed now, like the landscape has changed, and the landscape has changed. I think the expertise that existed within the board of directors, and it's not for me to speak about the board, but the expertise which was there, it remains. I think what you've got is, though, the focus is different. So the focus at the moment really has to be about how do we make sure that we've got people coming back to Celtic Park week in and week out. And I think to do that, the club have recognised that we have to spend more time listening to the supporters. We have to spend more time responding to what the supporters are telling us that they want. And I think that, you know, the current board of directors and the current management team at the club have responded to that particularly well over the last 12 months and will continue to do it over the next 12 months. So, as I say, I think it's just different periods of time determine what your management strategy is.
Obviously, one of the things in terms of fans is the atmosphere that fans create, and there are challenges at the moment that we have got. I'm not going to ask you to speak about specifics of that, but one of the things that we've bunched up the season books is the best way to put it, and we have the big empty chunk at the top of the North Stand.
Yes.
I was very pleased because obviously I went to the Cliftonville game and it was empty seats. I was very pleased to see, I wasn't at the British Mission Gladbach game, but I believe it was the same there. You put the banners across the seats.
Yes.
And obviously our display against Barcelona got a lot of very positive publicity.
Absolutely.
And subsequently other clubs, as they got later stages of the Champions League, did similar things. Have we got any plans to try and help coordinate that type of out with what the Green Brigade do in Section 111? Anything amongst their full support?
I know that over the course of the season we're looking to do new things which help generate a better atmosphere at Celtic Park, or just to give everything a lift. In terms of the Lisbon Lions, I think there's something planned from tomorrow onwards. The truth of the matter is, I don't know what it is. But something new is coming up there. And then I think over the course of the season, the marketing team, so Kevin and Fiona and that particular team, will be looking at doing other stuff. From my own perspective, I'll certainly be asking people what's practical that we would like to see happening at Celtic Park on a match day. Appreciate that you can't do things every week. You can, it gets diluted if you do it every week. But in certain matches, big occasions, we'll be asking, what can we do? What would Celtic supporters like to see happening? Is it just a big walk-on? Is it another similar type display that we've seen in the Barcelona game? I don't know, but certainly open to offers, open to suggestions.
And you'd welcome those suggestions to you?
Aye, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's the point, because sometimes you get emails or I get maybe even tweets from people saying, oh, I'm sorry to raise this or whatever. People should never be sorry about making a point about things. The whole point of me being here is, yeah, I work for the club, but I also work for the supporters as well. And it's about making sure that people get the opportunity to put their views forward. So you should never apologise for it. You know, if you've got something that you would like to say or get off your chest, and if it is a complaint, then it is a complaint. There is a huge service element to this particular role as well. And no one likes the expression customer services within football, because we don't have customers, we have supporters. And I think that's been lost in a number of years at other clubs. But from our point of view, we get supporters, we want to look after the supporters, and we want to enhance the service at every opportunity. So when the service is poor, please let me know.
But there's nothing wrong with having a customer service culture, even if you don't want to use that terminology.
Well, no, I mean, you're absolutely right, and the culture must exist. The culture must exist in everything that we do. You know, we should be putting supporters first. They should be at the forefront of anything that we do. And we're hoping to bring out a supporters charter at some point this year as well.
So we're expecting a decent crowd tomorrow. Our season book sales are up, is that right?
Season book sales are up against last year, yeah. Season book sales are positive. However,
even though we're the only fans in Europe who know on, you can't comment from a club's position, but even though we're the only fans in Europe who know from day one that we are going to win the league that we're starting, we are still selling season books up more than last season.
It's an interesting point, but yes, interest in the club is up, sales are up, we're not sold out yet, so if you've not got a season ticket, we'd still urge you to buy one, please. But sales are up, so yeah, we're pleased in that respect. But you do make a good point, is that when it comes to the level of competition, in all top flight, we are probably the only club whose fans know we're going to win the league.
Do we know how many fans we're getting from Dingwall?
I think it's about 300. It's about 300 coming down, aye, making the journey down.
The one thing I asked Tony Hamilton, and does working in Celtic change your attitude towards the club, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, knowing the inner workings?
I think it does, but I think when you don't work here, you tend to be a bit more critical. I think when you do work here, you understand either the difficulties or the complexities involved. And I don't mean this in a bad way at all, but we get lots of things put forward. I've even done it myself, but people suggest things and say, that's the best idea in the world. I can't understand why you don't do it. And then you examine it and you say, well, actually, maybe it's not, and it's maybe not such a great idea. But I do think that when you don't work here, you tend to be a bit more critical. The only thing I would say, from my point of view, when I was ever critical of the club, and I was never vocally critical or whatever, it would only be amongst family or whatever, I would say something I wasn't particularly, I didn't like, whatever it might be. But I would always try and come up with a reason for it or something positive to counteract it.
The worst thing must be, I would be really self-conscious in the middle of a game about having a go at a player if people around me knew I was an employee of the club.
I never criticise our players, but I don't know what that's like.
Never?
No, never. Celtic players, no. Never critical of.
You wouldn't even criticise a Celtic player when he plays for an opposition team? I wouldn't.
Maybe. No, I, you know what? I can only ever really remember being overly critical of a player once, and it was Didi Agat at Ibrox, and I was quite embarrassed after it. So I try not to do it. And I apologise, Didi, if you're listening. Sorry. I hope you didn't hear me.
So for Saturday, we are playing Ross County. What do you think the score will be?
Tomorrow, I always fancy Celtic to win. I also fancy Celtic to win at Celtic Park. I think they're weakened this year. I don't think they'll be as strong as they were last year. I think Ian Biders was a good player for them last year, and he's gone. So I don't think that they will be as strong as they were last year. But I do think that Derry Adams is a good manager, and I don't think he'll bring them down to get a doon. And I think he'll have them compact. So I'm going to say Celtic 2-0. 2-0 Celtic tomorrow. But they'll be organised. I think that they'll be organised. So for anybody that's listening, bet Celtic 7-0.
And your team for tomorrow?
Oh, God, that's an interesting one, actually. I guess it depends, everybody who's fit.
Because today, Lennon was saying Kelvin Wilson, Lustig, who else? Kelvin Wilson, Lustig, possibly Samaras out?
It complicates it slightly, but they're obviously the goalkeeper picks as well. I'd like to see Adam Matthews starting. Izzy Yeri at left back, and then maybe Charles Wilbrew and Effie Ambrose, and then Scott Brown, Kyle, Commons, Forrest, Samaras, and maybe Boringer. I think that would be quite a good team. I'd be happy with that.
Okay. I'm noticing the time, so
okay.
I think that's all, but the most important thing is probably be, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, you can send a stamped address in. No, sorry, yeah. Five days, wasn't it? No, people can get me
London on W1A4WW.
Yeah, absolutely. Swap that shop. Was it. Aye, that was it. I graduated to TISWAS eventually, so I became too boring. You can get me on jptaylor@celticfc.co.uk. I've got Twitter set up at CelticFCSLO. Direct telephone number is 01415514209. So they would be the best ways to get me. I generally pick up email and respond to email within a couple of days if I can. Invariably, I'll try and do it the following day. I pick up email at home, so I and try and get back to people as quickly as I possibly can.
So those people who go to AGM and complain that the pies are too cold, you will take their inquiries, but the people who want Amaras to get a haircut, they can go somewhere else?
Absolutely nothing. Anything to do with football has got nothing at all to do with me. I don't make any comment on players or the football side of things, but anything else that's not football related, and it's not related to the board, but it just is for ordinary Celtic fans, I'm your man.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much, John Paul Taylor. I'm going to continue to stare past you out the window out at Celtic Park.
Fantastic.
So hopefully you enjoyed that, with a couple of things extra slipped in for the eagle-eared. And just enjoy the game today, and remember this season, last season, fantastic season, 125 years of the Hoops, and this season's also a wonderful season because it's the 20th anniversary of our club turning into the club that it is now, and the 20th anniversary of the season where we made sure we didn't have the embarrassment of administration, never mind anything worse. Thanks, John Keane. Here's my card. Don't nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes.